Aunts, Aunt Gentlemen by P.G. Wodehouse. Read by Jonathan Cecil. Chapter 1. My attention was drawn to the spots on my chest when I was in my bath, singing, if I remember rightly, the Toreador song from the opera Carmen. They were pink in colour, rather like the first faint flush of dawn, and I viewed them with concern. I am not a fussy man, but I do object to being freckled like a pard, as I once heard Jeeves describe it, a pard, I take it, being something in the order of one of those dogs beginning with D. "Jeeves," I said at the breakfast table, "I've got spots on my chest."
"Indeed, sir."
"Pink."
"Indeed, sir."
"I don't like them."
"A very understandable prejudice, sir. Might I inquire if they itch?"
"Sort of."
"I would not advocate scratching them."
"I disagree with you. You have to take a firm line with spots. Remember what the poet said."
"Sir?"
"The poet Ogden Nash. The poem he wrote defending the practice of scratching. Who was Barbara Fritchie, Jeeves?"
"A lady of some prominence in the American war between the states, sir."
"A woman of strong character? One you could rely on?"
"So I have always understood, sir."
"Well, here's what the poet Nash wrote. I'm greatly attached to Barbara Fritchie. I bet she scratched when she was itchy. But I shall not be content with scratching. I shall place myself in the hands of a competent doctor."
"A very prudent decision, sir."
"The trouble was that, except for measles when I was just starting out, I've always been so fit that I didn't know any doctors. Then I remember that my American pal, Tipton Plimsoll, with whom I had been dining last night to celebrate his betrothal to Veronica, only daughter of Colonel and Lady Hermione Wedge of Blandings Castle, Shropshire, had mentioned one who had once done him a bit of good. I went to the telephone to get his name and address. Tipton did not answer my ring immediately, and when he did, it was to reproach me for waking him at daybreak. But after he had got this off his chest, and I had turned the conversation to mine, he was most helpful. It was with the information I wanted that I returned to Jeeves. I've just been talking to Mr. Plimsoll, Jeeves, and everything is straight now. He bids me lose no time in establishing contact with a medico of the name of E. Jimpson Murgatroyd. He says, if I want a sunny practitioner who will prod me in the ribs with his stethoscope and tell me an anecdote about two Irishmen named Pat and Mike, and then another about two Scotsmen named Mac and Sandy, E. Jimpson is not my man. But if what I'm after is someone to cure my spots, he unquestionably is, as he knows his spots from A to Z and has been treating them since he was so high. It seems that Tipton had the same trouble not long ago, and Murgatroyd fixed him up in no time. So while I'm getting out of these clothes into something more spectacular, will you give him a buzz and make an appointment?" When I had doffed the sweater and flannels in which I had breakfasted, Jeeves informed me that E. Jimpson could see me at 11. And I thanked him and asked him to tell the garage to send the car round at 10:45.
"Somewhat earlier than that, sir," he said, "if I might make the suggestion. The traffic. Would it not be better to take a cab?"
"No, and I'll tell you why. After I've seen the dock, I thought I might drive down to Brighton and get a spot of sea air. I don't suppose the traffic will be any worse than usual, will it?"
"I fear so, sir. A protest march is taking place this morning."
"What, again? They seem to have them every hour on the hour these days, don't they?"
"They are certainly not infrequent, sir."
"Any idea what they're protesting about?"
"I could not say, sir. It might be one thing or it might be another. Men are suspicious, prone to discontent. Subjects still loathe the present government."
"The poet Nash?"
"No, sir. The poet Herrick."
"Pretty bitter."
"Yes, sir."
"I wondered what they'd done to him to stir him up like that. Probably fined him £5 for failing to abate a smoky chimney."
"As to that, I have no information, sir."
Seated in the old sports model some minutes later, and driving to keep my tryst with E. Jimpson Murgatroyd, I was feeling singularly light-hearted for a man with spots on his chest. It was a beautiful morning, and it wouldn't have taken much to make me sing tra-la as I bowled along. Then I came abaft to the protest march and found myself becalmed. I leaned back and sat, observing the proceedings with a kindly eye.